This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI.
Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL with Ken Laird from the Kirk and Callahan Show.
Sure, old-time hockey. Like it is sure.
Yeah. Bruins writer Rear Admiral from Barstool Sports.
What a bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
And featuring contributions from WEEI.com Bruins writer Ty Anderson, former Bruin and WAAF personality Lyndon Byers, and nine-year NHL veteran Ryan Whitney.
Whitney has tied it. Sneaks in from the point.
Sunday Skate is brought to you by AT&T, Star Market, and by Wise Snacks.
Win, you know, we got a lot of losses.
Yeah, we got a lot of
lace them up for some Bees Talk right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, it's a good thing Admiral is multilingual. And you've been to New Brunswick, I'm sure, Rear, at some point.
No, Montreal, too many times to count. Toronto once, and I spent two lovely nights in Vancouver back in 2011.
Oh, close enough. You speak Don Sweeney-an. You can translate this morning. I know Ty Anderson can.
Lot, you mean legalese?
Yes, he's covered the Bruins GM here for a bit. Welcome to Sunday Skate here on Sports Radio WEEI. Big news in the Boston Globe, headline of the Boston Globe. Bruins GM Don Sweeney has not ruled out a coaching change. And we'll get to Sweeney's retort to this story on Nesson last night here in a bit. But give me your guys' translation for this. He doesn't really say they're considering a change. It's the old, we're not ruling it out. And he just sort of meanders around the topic, Ty, without really giving you a true sense. But after reading this and even hearing Don, I've got to think the axe is falling. The next three-game losing streak, Claude's going to be out.
Yeah, I read that as I look at it and I say, okay, well, if you lose to a bad Florida team and a bad Carolina team, you're gone. And that sort of set, I think that set the course for the weekend, where you lose that game and it's over. And you lose Sunday's game, it's over. And I think that was the realistic sort of viewpoint you had to take with that, is that if they lost these two games, he'd be gone. And that would be, because that would be losses in all but five of your last 18 games. You'd be officially sliding down out of the playoff picture officially. So I mean, that's what I thought when I read those comments. And last night, hey, sure enough, the team's best player showed up to play. Coincidence?
And you know, Rear, it's a game against a team that's playing back to backs, and they're banged up a little bit right now. Granted, it's a division opponent. Florida's not been terrible, but you're supposed to win that game. So I do wonder if Ty's right. If they had lost that game last night, we might have heard that headline this morning being Claude Julien is fired.
As far as the story, I don't think there was really anything like timeliness about it. And that's not knocking the reporter. Fluto Shinzao was a great reporter. I think he was fortunate enough to get a lot of quotes from Don Sweeney. And, you know, when you get a guy talking that much, it fills your copy. And, you know, it looks like he's saying a lot. But all due respect to Sweeney, he does kind of speak legalese kind of a lot of times. I mean, he'll talk a lot and say a lot of stuff, and you still might not really get an answer to your question. You know, I think he tries to get ahead of the press sometimes, because he'll ask kind of hypotheticals in his press conference. But I mean, it wasn't really anything new. I mean, yeah, you know, coach hasn't ruled out a coaching change. Okay, yeah, you could probably write that headline any day of the week. And again, not knocking the report. It's just, I don't think it was really necessarily like an urgent news thing. Reading between his quotes a little bit, I think the fact that Claude is still here is whether it's on purpose or just a tacit acknowledgement that, you know, Claude doesn't have the best roster right now. That you know, firing him, what's that prove? You know, like, you know, you're looking at some of the lines that they're cobbling together some of these nights, and, you know, they're not an NHL contender right now. I mean, you know, all you have to do is watch a Bruins game at 7 o'clock till 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then watch a West Coast game with, like, San Jose versus, say, Dallas, you know,
right,
for the late game. With Chicago. And the difference is night and day. I mean, you know, the Bruins are a plodding team. They win ugly. They're not particularly fun to watch right now. I mean, you know, we do because we like the game and all that. But they're just not a very dynamic team right now. And you know, firing Claude, I don't know. It may give the team a temporary kick in the pants. But they still have the same, you know, they're still trotting out the same roster that's not scoring goals right now. And I don't know if that new coach is going to make their aim better.
Well, the biggest case for me to firing Claude, because I agree with you, I don't think it's the answer. And you make great points about the current roster that Claude's dealing with. But the best case for firing Claude is exactly what Sweeney says at the end of the piece here in the Globe. Last year, we were in a great position and we bleeped the bed.
Pooped.
3-8-1 last year down the stretch. 2 years ago, they lost their last three. So if you're going to fire a coach, I mean, those are exhibits A and B
exactly.
as to why to fire a coach, but they didn't.
Right.
So unless they just felt Claude's a good first half coach, we'll keep him until the midpoint when they start to stagnate, and then we'll use it as a spark. If that was their game plan, I guess it may not be the worst game plan. But if you believed in Claude before the year, why not? Why are you ready to bail on him at the first sign of trouble now?
Exactly. Like if you didn't fire him after missing the playoffs twice, like you said, I mean, the first time, okay, they'll give him a second shot. They didn't fire him last year. It's like, okay, well, what the hell are they going to fire him in January now? Why? I mean, let's just see how this year shakes out. And if they don't make it again, okay, let's take a look. Like I said, if they booted him out and brought in Bruce Cassidy, I don't know. Maybe would that, I know people mentioned, the Mike Sullivan effect in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You go back to Dan Byles. Actually, Pittsburgh again, Dan Byles, turfing a guy halfway through the year into the season and bringing in a guy. And the new fresh approach worked for the team. And, there's always that wonder, and I'm sure that's what Don Sweeney's thinking, looking down at, Bruce Cassidy every night. Can this guy do a better job of getting this team to come out and answer the bell in the first period? I mean, this team with the bad starts every night, it's like, the Bruins, they come out of the gate slow, and, that is a motivation thing. And, but again, it's that kind of great chicken and egg thing is how much of that is the coach not motivating and how much of it is not self-motivation. Again, these guys are making $7 million, $6 million, $7 million, $8 million a year. They shouldn't need a 60-year-old guy yelling in their face to get up for a game.
If Cassidy was the answer, would it be a system change with it?
I mean, it'd be the same roster. It'd be the same team that can't score goals, the same team that has, six centers playing on the wing. That's not going to make a difference with this group. It's a talent issue. And, these last two teams that fell out of the postseason play, you looked at that and said, okay, this team should be better. I look at this team and I say, this coach might be coaching these guys up, if anything. Some of these players are just no-showing. It's amazing when you look at this roster and you see how bad they perform or how bad they get when they lose one top six forward. This might be the only team in the NHL that if you lose one forward from your top six, they're toast. And they go from scoring three goals to 1.5, maybe.
That's all true, but it's tough to look at them on paper and say, you're not better than Toronto. You shouldn't be losing games that they've lost to Jersey on the road Tuesday where you didn't show up. Like Rear says, bad starts. There have been some symptoms that worry you a little bit. I don't know if it's totally coaching, but there's some element. What do they blame for the last 2 years? 3-8-1 down the stretch and missing the playoffs. I mean, that's inexcusable.
They blame bad luck. And it's funny to say that, it's just bad luck. But, I mean, in a way, it's your goaltender, he craps his pants, literally at the end of last season. He's not available in the last day of the year. You got Jonas Gustafsson has to step up, and obviously he didn't. The year before that, I just think that was sort of reality, finally catching up with this team after, 6-7 years of being a dominant sort of franchise.
And, right.
But no, this year, I mean, this team, they're not loaded with talent. And I think if one scorer goes missing, they're in a lot of trouble. And, I do hold the GM somewhat accountable for that in the sense that you banked on a lot of players and you banked on a lot of guys that either haven't fully developed or they're still young or they're a little bit older. They walked away from a lot of players last year, a lot of wingers, guys that they could have kept maybe for cheap and it would have been some nice depth. Instead of having, a natural center play on the wing and having five natural centers play on the wing, whatever the number is now.
Like who? Who should they have kept that they didn't? I mean, Erickson was...
Sean Thornton.
Yeah, and if you want to go back a few years. Yeah. No, I look
Pileski's
at...
out. I mean, you could I guess, use him as...
I look at Stempniak. You look at this team. They could have afforded Stempniak still. They could have kept him, and he would have been a great guy to have on your third line, playing left or right side. And when an injury happens, you put him to the top six... There's really not a huge drop-off in his production or that line's production. I go back to a guy like that, I mean, personally. And, there are other guys that are out there on the free agent market that they could have had for cheap that they didn't.
Hey, anybody beside Hayes, I guess I couldn't argue that point. Well, let's listen to Sweeney last night on Nesson before we get too far down the line. Sunday Skate here on Sports Radio WEI. Ken Laird, Rear Admiral from Barstool Sports. Ty Anderson from WEI.com, our Bruins beat reporter. Our Dale Arnold asked in the Nesson pregame, Don Sweeney, to a comment about the headline that had already been posted at bostonglobe.com. Bruins GM Don Sweeney hasn't ruled out a coaching change. Here's what Sweeney had to say to Dale.
Well, I mean, I had a long conversation with Fluto today, and in my opinion, I think he stretched where the conversation was going. He did ask me specifically whether or not I would be considering or ruling out, I should say, a coaching change, and I was referencing where I thought our team was and the overall team performance and how we were doing. basically talking about the personnel, and those decisions rest with me. I also discussed in terms of the plan that we had put in place when I took the job, and Claude was a very firmly a part of that, and I have faith in him and our staff and our personnel. That being said, you know, this is a performance business. I referenced myself in that respect, that if the plan doesn't go accordingly, then I would suspect changes would continue to occur. But as I've always stated, Claude's been a plan of what a part of what we've been trying to accomplish here, and they're working hard for us to continue to have success.
You want to translate that?
Yeah, it's definitely speaking out of both sides of his mouth, but I haven't said that. I definitely think it was an endorsement in a way. I mean, he's talking about,
it
you know.
It was? That was an endorsement?
A little bit. I think you could, well, again, you could take what you want from it. You know, if they're not performing, he's going to fire him. But, I mean, as far as, you know,
an endorsement is Claude's our guy. He's not going anywhere.
All right, mild.
We're not considering a coaching
Well, again, he did say things to Couch's eye. I mean, however you want to feel out of those that statement, you can take pause. You know, you could take the way I'm saying now. Like,
but that alone, if you're going to leave it murky, that's not an endorsement to me.
When I took the job, and Claude was a very firmly a part of that, and I have faith in him and our staff and our personnel.
That being said,
this is a performance business.
Right, but before that, he said Claude is part of our future here. In other words, like, I think the plan on paper is to not fire Claude. I think it's like kind of, you know, we talk about bridge years for contracts, for players. I think these are almost like a, you know, bridge year for Claude. While it's kind of weird, he's still coaching, but like, it's like, all right, we're going to get through these couple crappy years, and then when our prospects come in, and you know, 2-3 years and things are looking up, we're going to have Claude here, because I think they almost don't want to lose him as a coach right now, because they know they're going to get, or they feel they're going to get better in a couple of years, and they still want Claude here.
So you think he is here for the long term?
I think that's the Bruins' plan, right? I think
Jeremy Jacobs' plan on paper is we're firing Claude at the first three-game losing streak after the new year.
I think the plan is to have Claude here right now. If they don't make the playoffs this year again, I think they're going to take a look at those plans and probably can them. But right now, I think they're going to let him try to get to the playoffs with this roster.
Should the Bruins fire Claude, will they, based on what you heard there from Don Sweeney, 617-779-7937 here on Sunday Skate, brought to you by AT&T, Star Market, and Wise Snacks. The fact that Cassidy's here gives them one option. If you're going to fire a guy, you better have a good plan in place. Other than Cassidy, is there an obvious choice out there? They're going to bring Mike Milbury back, right?
Or that should have won the worst/best rumor tweet last year. Mike Milbury coming, or 2 years ago, whenever it was. That was the worst rumor ever. Sorry, Ty.
No, I would say, I mean, if you're looking at this in the summer, Nate Lehman is a guy, Providence College. He's really built a factory down there in terms of the competitive nature of Providence, you know, not being a powerhouse, being a competitive team.
Or you could go Cassidy short-term and then go into these guys in the offseason.
But I think the writing was on the wall in the sense that, like, okay, once Cassidy came in, he was sort of anointed the guy that if they do fire Claude, it's going to be him. Because he's put in the work in Providence. He has NHL head coaching experience. Granted, it was years ago with a Washington team that really hated him by the end of it. But he does have NHL experience. And he sort of redefined, you know, reinvented who he is as a coach during the past half decade or whatever it's been now with the Providence Bruins before coming back up. And I think they look at what they've done defensively and they say, okay, this is a guy that can work with our defense. He can work with our young guys. He knows where to put players to best succeed. And I think that's interesting in a way, you know, that's telling. But I also think that Claude has done a pretty good job of doing the same thing. He's really put some guys in positions to succeed this year versus years past where, you know, he's putting Austin Zarnik out there in late-game situations. He's putting David Pastrnak out there in late-game situations. In years past, he would deploy Max Talbot or Gregory Campbell in that situation. He's not relying on old veterans as much as he always did. And I think Claude sort of, he's either utilizing Cassidy to say, hey, can this guy coach, or can this guy play in this situation, rather, versus I'm going with the guys I know. So
it's been a bizarre year. I mean, obviously they can't score. They're 24th in the league in goals per game, 2.38 goals per game.
Like me, freshman year in high school, man, I couldn't score.
Well, has that changed for you since?
Yeah, you know, I hit a nice little streak after my junior year called puberty and turned me into a man.
We had Pastrnak with 19 goals. He's hit a skid. Marchand with 2 goals last night. This blew me away. That he what was it 38 games since his last multi-point game. It's not like Marchand's been bad or that top line's been bad, but that's just sort of.
Yeah.
How has he not had a multi-point game in 40 games?
That threw me off, too. And, I mean, you know, he got his 11th and 12th, I believe, last night.
Yeah.
And that even that when Ashari scored the first goal, it was like, that's only his 11th goal, because it seemed like he had 11 goals in October. I mean, he got that such a torrid start, and then he just really cooled off considerably. And, you know, he's a guy, I mean, he's been out there with Bergeron, but he's a guy who I think, you know, can't question his effort, but, you know, he hasn't been producing to the level he should be right
is
now.
Is that coaching? Is that just a fluky first half?
I think
he is, like, top 25 in the league in points.
Right, I think it's what's it like Ty said, this, we got to queue up Social Distortion, the song Bad Luck, because there's definitely an element of bad luck. I know that's a poor excuse for a pro team, but there is an element to that. You know, I mean, teams typically get bounces. They do balance out over the course of the year, but there's definitely, I mean, like Sweeney said, you hate to say that, but there's been bad luck. I mean, some games, like the Edmonton game the other night, they didn't play great, but they had a good effort. I mean, they went out.
Good Corsi. I know you're a big advanced stats guy.
Yeah. So they, you know, they come out with a good effort, but it was one of those nights where every little mistake they made ended up in the back of their net. That was like, just, you know, they win games like that as well, but they, you know, it's just like they didn't get the right save, or, I mean, there was one goal that bounced off a guy's skate and sends a guy in all alone.
Carlo had a bad night.
Quirky little stuff like that.
It was a rare bad night for him, right, Ty? And there's a guy who's a young player that you're talking about where Julian's forced to play, and he's had a pretty good year for the most part, but he's had a tough week.
Yeah, I mean, when they have a top pairing guy that has a bad night, whether it's Shara or Carlo, the team's gonna have a bad night. And you know, what's funny about that Edmonton game is that was the 11th loss that they had had when putting 33 shots or more on net. I mean, that sort of speaks to the idea that this team can't score, and that even if they dominate the puck, they don't have the talent around them to score if the defense has a bad night. I mean, this team, if they get into a shootout, I don't mean the literal shootout. I mean, yeah, you know, a 5-4, 6-5 game, they're going to lose it. They're going to lose it every time because they're not built that way.
But what's bizarre is they lose all these games to the grinding teams, Devils, the Wild. They're going to lose to Carolina today. They always struggle against the Canes.
Yeah.
So, but they've handled Tampa this year. They've handled Florida.
Yeah, I think they answer the bell. It's weird. They play the good teams, they play over their heads. It's the bad teams they always have the problem with. Another thing under Claude is they play down to their competition. They've always seemed to done that. And I don't know if that's a mental approach, like, we don't have to give as much of an effort this game. So
it might be comfort. 10 years of a guy being around that might speak to a coaching
change. Yeah. Well, I mean, don't be putting words in my mouth like you like to do, Kenny. No,
that's what you said.
No, I'm not. But I'm not talking for a coaching change. I'm just saying, you know, there's good and there's bad. Like, they play down. So okay.
Well, that's coaching.
But also, so what about when they play up and they beat, you know, the four of the five best teams in the league on a stretch? That's coaching too. So
yeah,
you take
they're
the good with the bad.
They're a mediocre team right now.
So what about who's their backup goalie right now, Kenny? Do you want to?
Which is just that's embarrassing. That's Claude's low point. Using a scapegoat on Anton Khudobin.
Oh wait, Claude
in the middle of the week, Claude, to try to create a spark.
Claude does transactions now.
He's been bad mouthing him for months.
Oh God. Okay, yeah. Because
but the saviors here, God help us all. Zane McIntyre will be the turning point of the season, I'm sure.
Right, he didn't earn it all over Khudobin. He didn't earn the number two position at all.
I'm not saying Khudobin was great, but to blame him for the way this team has been and down.
Who's blaming him?
He's playing seven games, eight games?
Nobody is assigning blame for their lack of success this year.
He hasn't played in like 2 weeks. And
he
has been bad
for a backup goalie. And they have a guy on the farm who's playing lights out. It's a no-brainer move. It's not blaming the season on him. It's saying, all right, this guy is costing us points where we could be getting them. Let's replace him with someone who's going to give us a better effort, most likely. And that's what they've done. That's not blaming the season on him.
All right, let's go to the phones. Chris in Plainville up first here on Sunday Skate. Ken Laird, Rear Admiral, Ty Anderson. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. Subban was a great pickup. That was a great use of that pick.
Malcolm Subban, phenomenal. You think he'd turn it around?
Yeah, no. That doesn't work for me. Hey, I don't want the Bruins to fire Claude at all. Not this year. I get an emphatic no for that. If the Bruins don't make the playoffs three straight years, I believe Claude would fire Claude. And I think, you know, you can't miss three straight years with Bergeron and these guys. But to you guys, greater point, we're adjusting on the run here. This is trying to rebuild the team on the fly. I just don't think you're going to find a better coach than him. I just don't think you're going to. And we just don't have patience here, which I don't have either. But at the same time, I don't want to lose a coach like this. So that's my point. Have a good morning, guys.
All right, Chris.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
Well, you know, to Chris's point about mixed messages from management, this has seemingly been a 2 or 3 year thing. Even here's a quote in the Globe story where Sweeney says, it's difficult, especially when the expectations really haven't been lowered. So you've got Jacobs coming out before the season and saying we're expecting a playoff run. And yet you've got Sweeney, who represents what? The guy who's rebuilding the system. He was the minds behind a lot of these draft picks. And you're starting to get excited about it, right? The World Juniors this week.
Oh,
you see,
man.
Charlie McAvoy out there, and you think,
what a tourney.
The future is bright. So if you're, you know, if you're Sweeney.
The future is very bright.
So, but is Sweeney having people lording over him, say, you know, demanding moves, trades? We obviously, we'll get to this here in a bit, the rumors of a big trade inquiry to Colorado. I feel like the organization is split. They've been split for 2.5 years as to what they want to do. Do they want to compete now? Do they want to rebuild and retool? They're walking that middle ground, and it's cost them a playoff spot, arguably, the last 2 years.
I think it's obvious that's what they don't. I mean, they've acknowledged that. I don't know that. I mean, as a fan and a guy, excuse me, writes about the team. I mean, I don't think there's getting mixed signals. It's like, okay, we're not a perfect team. We're trying to try to fix it as we're simultaneously going to try to sneak into the playoffs and maybe go on a run. Like, that's, I mean, they've pretty much acknowledged that. And I mean, as a guy who I don't pay my season ticket bill anymore because I don't have them, but I mean, that's something like, okay, at least they're acknowledging we're not as good as we are. And we're going to try to do this at the and rebuild and retool at the same time, still manage to be competitive. And, you know, and I do get the mentality. It's not just like, let's get in the playoffs and get some home dates and, you know, $1 million a game or whatever they say it makes. It's probably $2 million a game now for the gate receipts. I think it's because they know if you get in the playoffs and you have a, especially with the parity in the NHL, which is good parity as opposed to the crappy parity of the NFL, there's good parity in the NHL where you can get in the playoffs and get hot as a pistol and go on a run, especially with a goalie like Tuukka Rask. I mean, you know, so it's not like, oh, we're going to get in the playoffs and we'll get 2 or 3 dates and Jacobs will get his $1 million or $2 million a game. It's like, no, it's like we'll get in the playoffs and, you know we can beat anybody on any given night in this league, and they can.
And at a worst, you give some of your young players the experience of a playoff series.
That too. Yeah, you know, because, you know, a lot of, like, young guys typically in the NHL have to learn to win, which consists of losing in the playoffs. So, yeah, you know, we'll get some guys some experience. So it's not just about money. It's about, you know, about having a chance, you know. And if you are in the dance, man, like, I mean, I always go back to the 08 Edmonton versus Carolina. I mean, I know it was a TV ratings nightmare for people selling ads, but it was one of the probably most underrated Stanley Cups of the last 25 years.
Yeah, but as you say, to look at Boston on paper and then not only the Western teams, Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus right now, the way they've been playing, a handful of teams in the Met, it's hard to think they would take any of those teams out in a series, in a 7-game series at
Why?
This point. They're just star power.
Yeah, but it's a play. It's a different game. Like Columbus, I was talking on my podcast this week. It's like, okay, it's impressive as hell to win 16 games in a row. But it means nothing right now. I mean, the season's not even half over yet. I mean, they're most likely getting the playoffs, but like the fact that they had a hell of a hot streak, like a bunch of other teams this year, means absolutely nothing come playoff time. Only one team can win the Stanley Cup. So there's going to be a lot of teams this year who had multiple game winning streaks and aren't going to win the cup. Again, in a 7-game series, man, with a goalie like Rask and just, you know, with determination and heart take over more than, you know, just names on the paper than star power, then, you know, I mean, the Bruins, again, they can beat anyone with that roster in a series. That's why they feel they just need to get in the playoffs.
All right, more on Claude's future with the team and also these trade rumors that have popped up this week with a somewhat superstar in Colorado.
Yeah.
Or two. We have some tickets to give away next as well. We'll tell you how you can get in for a chance to win a pair of Bruins tickets to the Islanders game coming up on the 16th. This is Sunday Skate. We moved over from Saturday Skate. We'll be here on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 for the next month or so, and then expanding to 2 hours after football. We are brought to you by AT&T, mobilizing your world. Star Market, see what makes us shine, and Wise Snacks. Kent Laird, Rear Admiral, and Ty Anderson here on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're able to score a goal as a group. It was certainly an effort by all 5 guys on the ice, and when you're able to do that, it keeps building that into your game, and that's a good sign for us.
David Backus last night after the Bruins 4-0 win in Florida, 4-0 against the Panthers this year, 11-0 combined against Florida, Tampa, Buffalo, and Detroit, although they haven't played the Wings just the one game. Laird Admiral and Ty Anderson, but the trouble guys in the division has been the Canadian teams. One win, five losses against Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto, who as of yesterday was past them in the standings, but the Bruins...
Actually, the second place in the Atlantic today when I woke up, I was surprised to see that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of games.
A lot of games in hand.
In hand.
Asterisk.
So.
Kenny's the human asterisk this morning. Or every morning.
Every morning.
That's Kate. We need them. We need them.
I'm the truth bringer. Hey, before we get back into the Claude Heat and trade possibilities, we've got some tickets to give away.
Ooh.
Bruins and Islanders coming up on the 16th of January. Text the code word STICK to 37937. That's 37937. Within the next 10 minutes, you'll be entered to win a pair. General contest rules apply. Message and data rates may apply. Be the first to know when Bruins tickets get released on game days by getting a text right to your phone. Sign up for the Bruins last-minute pass for free and receive a text with discounted tickets for you and your friends. To sign up for that, go to bostonbruins.com/pass. So text STICK to 37937 right now for a chance to win a couple to the Islanders. Will Claude still be the coach for that game on the 16th? We were discussing the Sweeney comments in the Globe and then the audio version of it. Ty Anderson covers the Bruins for us, and you've been noticing some mood changes from some of the execs up in the booth the past week or so?
A little bit. I mean, you look at Thursday's game, it was just ultimate frustration, and I think that was evident when I saw the team president storm out before the game was even over. Once they were losing, he was like, "I'm out. He's done."
With, like, how much time are we talking here? Five minutes ago?
This was once the Oilers scored the final go-ahead goal, if you will. And he was just frustrated. He said, "I'm out of here." He just left. He didn't say anything, but, like, his body language was, "I'm done." You know, I wasn't surprised if he went down and called teams right there and said, "Let's make a trade. I don't care what it is, make a trade." But I think that's, you know, some seats are harder than others. When we talk about patience and things like that, Sweeney has time. Neely probably doesn't have as much time in terms of what he's done to the team or for the team over these last few years and the pressure that's on him versus the pressure that's on Sweeney or Claude for that matter.
Right.
So I think you're starting to see that sort of come to the surface there.
Well, I would agree with that. And if you read Fluto's piece in the Globe, his one sentence of reporting, Admiral, is the temperature around the team is rising, especially near the coach. I mean, that's a factual statement. So from his point of view, Claude is feeling the heat.
How do you measure that?
I don't know.
How do you measure heat around the team? It's just, I mean,
he's hearing things, I'm assuming.
Well, you can't just write that as a beat writer. Well, I mean, it's just, all that's referring is to media and fan heat, you know? I mean, it's people like us talking and it's fans bitching on Twitter. Like I said, these guys are under the heat all the time. Like, coaches are there all the time. And again, and Sweeney, it seemed like he kind of quibbled about the headline. I mean,
that audio piece,
which was kind of like, you know, what I was alluding to,
because he didn't want to make a headline.
That's how the media works. But like, that's, you know, like someone read the story and then Cluedo doesn't write the headline. Someone, you know, wrote that headline.
Yeah, his editor wanted to make it pop.
Exactly. It's an Eichel hasn't ruled out a coaching change. Well, you know what? You know, that's just like I said. It's just kind of, it's at the end of the day, it's an innocuous statement that's been true every day so far because, you know, Claude's still here, right? I just, and that's, I think, what Don was saying. He had this wide-ranging conversation, and not that, you know, again, not Fluto didn't spin it, but the headline writer posted, and people see the headline, and that's how they kind of mentally approach the story when, in fact, you know, Sweeney was just kind of giving him an interview. And, you know, I don't think there's really anything to it, really.
Okay, I disagree, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Here are a couple of texts on the matter. 37937. This from the 617. Marchand is slow in scoring this year because of the Worlds. He played way too much before the season. And this from the 978. Blow it up and commit to a rebuild. This team is mentally soft. They need an injection of character, but the coach is a non-issue with those subjects. If they need a blow it up or a major change, I'd say Gabriel Landeskog would fit the bill. Admiral, you and I discussed this a couple weeks ago on the Saturday version of the program.
He did come up.
Do you buy these rumors? Because Adrian Dater out in Denver basically said straight ahead, you know, factually, the Bruins put a call in and kick the tires on Landeskog.
I do. Adrian Dater does not have a reputation in the industry for making stuff up out of the blue like a lot of writers do with hockey, or they just certainly sort of take their opinion and kind of spin it into something like a rumor. So yeah, I think there's definitely something to it. If he's reporting it, I'm sure the Bruins are kicking the tires on it. Again, you know, that's what GMs do. They kick tires. If they're not kicking tires, they're not doing their job. And Gabriel Landeskog is certainly an intriguing name. You look at him, he's, you know, been the captain out for a very underperforming Colorado team that has fallen off the NHL radar after Patrick Roy's brief success. $5.5 million under contract till 2021. I mean, you get him for four more years after this one at a pretty good price. He hasn't been producing to the level we were probably accustomed to early in his career, but I would attribute that to the fact he's on an awful team. You know, you're going to have to give something up to get a guy like Gabriel Landeskog, though.
It's real. It's a real interest.
Yeah, and there you go. There's a guy closer to the team than I am on a daily basis.
Okay, but if they ask for Carlo, and I think Admiral's 100% right here, you're going to have to give up an NHL-ready defenseman, Carlo or probably McAvoy, right?
Well, the problem is that the Avalanche, they really want NHL-ready defensemen. That's their biggest need. It's been their ask from the start. The problem is that Carlo is probably the only one that's really enticing enough for you to move on from your captain. Carlo is also a Colorado native, and it would really help the Avalanche sort of build some excitement around their team again, if you will. But that's a non-starter for the Bruins. The Bruins said no to moving Carlo when it came to Jacob Trouba. They're going to say the same thing now when it comes to Landeskog. They're not moving him. He's borderline untouchable from what I've gathered and what people have talked to. They say, no, he's not being moved. You can't move a guy who's 6'5", is under team control for the next 6-7 years, whatever it is, and who's already playing top pairing minutes. You can't do it in this league, especially with the hard cap. He's affordable now. He's going to be affordable later. They can't do that, and they won't do that. Now, McAvoy is also a guy that I don't think they want to move, especially after I performed at the World Juniors. They're not going to move him.
I'd rather trade Carlo than McAvoy after watching him this week.
Yeah, no, I mean, McAvoy is more along the lines of a Doughty-type talent when you talk about what the Bruins need. I mean, this is a guy who's strong at both ends. He pushes pace the other way. He can be a great player for you. That said, they still have some guys in their pipeline that are pretty attractive on the trade market. You know, look at Jeremy Lauzon, played for Team Canada at the World Juniors, was probably one of Canada's best defensemen. He began the camp as their seventh defenseman, too.
Yeah, he was good.
So he's sort of a diamond in the rough, I think, when you talk about trade targets and trade chips you can use. I wouldn't like to move him, but you have to give up something to get something. So that's a guy that, I mean, Jacob Zboril, first-round pick. I don't think he has as high of a ceiling as a lot of people think, but he's a guy out there as well. They have a lot of prospects up front, too, that can help out. So they have the pieces to make a trade. It's can they stomach what they would have to give up, which I don't know if everyone in that front office shares the same feeling.
Not to mention it would make you move some other salary because Landeskog's, what, $5.5 million on a cap hit? You've got three, according to Cap Friendly, $3.8 million in space. So what does that mean? Trading Krejci too? And they'd have to move a pretty big ticket item.
No, I think they can move a guy off their blue line, be it Adam McQuaid or Joe Morrow, or you look up front, you can move a Jimmy Hayes. I mean,
I'm not sure that's humanly possible.
Yeah,
trade
sweeten
Jimmy Hayes
the pot a bit with someone else, make it even a better return. But they have options there.
All right, let's go to the phones. Sunday Skate here on Sports Radio WEEI, brought to you by AT&T Star Market and Wise Snacks. Don in Florida is up next here on the program. What's going on, Don?
Yeah, good morning, fellas. I'm listening to your talk show here, and believe me, the problem is not with Coach Claude Julien. The problem is with management. Management's put a terrible team on the ice this year. When you have 12 players with less than 2 goals apiece, and you have a guy like Marchand who came out of the World Cup having a great series, who's on line for a 20-goal season when he had 37 last season, and you take a guy like Backes, who they picked up, who should have been a 35-40-goal man. He's got 10 goals on the season. And you get Bergeron, who's done a complete no-show this year. The problem is not with Claude. He didn't put this team on the ice. And I always liked Neely as a player. He was a great player. Sweeney was a good player. But Neely made a terrible mistake when he hired Sweeney as the general manager to put this team together when you had the Shiro kid available at the time, and he would have changed this organization completely.
Went to the Devils. What do you guys think about Don's take that this is a terrible roster? It's there are obviously weak spots. When, like last night, it's Zarnik, Hayes, and Vetrano's your third line. That's not going to get it done in the long term.
Nah, it's a flawed roster. It's not a terrible roster. You know, it's got obviously some issues. The defense needs an upgrade. Needs some upgrades. You know, we need a top six winger, like a guy like Gabriel Landeskog, for example. But no, it's not a terrible roster. But it's one that, you know, I think we've known has been flawed all year. And but you know, there's a lot of key good things in place. Tuukka Rask is, you know, among the best three or four goalies in the league. You know, you got Bergeron, the Yoselki type caliber type. Chara's been having a much better year than people have anticipated. I think. Obviously he's old. He's not going to be around too much longer. But I mean, there are some good things in place. You know, again, Marchand, another guy. As far as Backus, I don't think I had him pegged anywhere between 30 and 40 goals. I mean, I kind of had
25.
Him. That's about what I had, 20, 25. And, you know, we're halfway through the season now and he's got 10. So, you know, he might be slightly off his pace, but.
With injury problems. Had the elbow thing. He had the concussion.
He got zonked. But, you know, guys are going to get dinged up and miss games. Like I said from the outset, we're going to see, hopefully we're going to see Backus' true value with playoff time, because that's when he was a monster for St. Louis last year in the playoffs. And if the Bruins can get to the playoffs, I think that's where you're really going to see a guy like Backus earn his pay.
John in North Andover's up next on Sunday Skate. What's going on, John?
Hey, guys. Caller right ahead of me kind of caught some of my wind here. I agree. I think Claude, I think he's the man. He's got a proven system. The problem is it started with Chiarelli, and I blame Neely because he allowed it and he agreed with the switch. When they were losing to Chicago and quite often to Montreal, Chiarelli wanted to move to a quicker, a faster paced team, and that isn't Claude's team style. I tell you, he's got a winning thing, but they won't build a team to fit his style. The sad thing is, because Chiarelli put us in a bad salary cap position, now you're caught in transition where you can't acquire a defensive team and you can't acquire a fast skating team. The products aren't out there for the money. And right now, when the forwards are completely committed to constantly back-checking to support your defense, you can't score goals. And I'm surprised they've been in as many games as they had. I just feel bad for Claude. I wish they'd either buy fully into his system and supply a team that fits his system, because it is a winning system, or let the poor guy go to a team that's going to win the Stanley Cup and he can do it.
Thanks, John. Landeskog seems to fit Claude's system. Wouldn't you think?
Perfectly. Oh, my goodness.
Backus does. Carlo does.
6 foot one, 6 foot two, power forward, can play left and right side. Goes to the front of the net, does the dirty things you need to win games when it's important. I think that's a great piece for them, and it would really sort of shore up the left side for David Krejci, which has been an issue really since Lucic left. It's been a revolving door of characters there. It would be a great fit, and I think the people that look at his numbers, you know, he struggled so far, only a few goals in 30 games now, whatever it's been. But get him out of that system, which is an absolute train wreck. If you watch the Avalanche, nobody looks good. No, not even Nate MacKinnon looks good in that system. It's terrible, terrible system. I think you put him in a system with some structure like Claude Julien's, and he's really going to thrive as a premier talent in this league.
Well, what they seem to be struggling with is they've got talented forwards like Edmonton did, but the back end is so bad, they're never in the offensive zone. So Landeskog has 6 goals.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the reason the Oilers traded Taylor Hall, right, for a defenseman in the offseason, because they were a little too top-heavy that way. The fear would be if the Bruins make that trade and you get rid of Carlo, then you're in the same boat. Now you've got Landeskog, and now you've got a blue line that's a mess. I mean, Kevin Miller's back up to playing with Chara and the whole trickle-down effect.
Oh,
so.
please, no, I don't need that. Nobody needs that.
You wouldn't trade Carlo, though, you're saying.
No. I mean, also, I think about when Adrian Data tweeted all that out, I'm pretty sure he did acknowledge that, you know, the Bruins said, no way, Carlo's off the table. Like, they're definitely not, you know, trading him. And I mean, obviously, like we've been saying, that's a good thing. You know, this kid, for his age and how young he is and how he's performed this year, it's like, man, the sky looks like to be the limit for this kid, you know?
Sunday Skate here on Sports Radio WEEI. Ken Laird, Rear Admiral, and Ty Anderson. NFL Sunday coming up at 9 o'clock. Some final thoughts from us. We'll pave the way for Pete Shepard and the boys. Talking about the Patriots, of course, and their next opponent. This is Sports Radio WEEI. All right, time for the Cheese Doodles Extreme Player of the Week, brought to you by Wise Snacks. Bruins were 1-2 this week, boys, but I don't know. Somebody that jumps out as the Extreme Player of the Week? Maybe Marchand last night for the two-goal performance?
No, I go. Patrice Bergeron. This is a player who's finally coming around. You know, he scores a goal against the Oilers. He adds an assist as well. The face-off numbers are where they should be. He's actually getting a shot on net. Last three games, he has 17 shots on goal. He had back-to-back seven-shot nights these past two games. When he is performing the way he can, this team is what you saw last night. When he doesn't, they're what you saw on Monday night. Uh-huh. So Bergeron coming around, he's still the same elite sort of three-zone player he's always been, but now you're starting to see some of the offensive game come back, so he's my vote there.
I'm going to go with a guy who didn't really put up a lot of points, but I thought his play has gotten a lot better of late, and it's worthy of recognition, is Colin Miller. He's still a guy, you know, he's still a relatively young kid. He's 24. I mean, he hasn't had a ton of NHL experience, but he's a kid I think the franchise still has some high hopes for. He's very skilled, obviously. He's got a cannon of a shot. He's a hell of a skater. Just got to work on some other elements of his game. But I like what we've seen out of him lately. And if he can reach his potential, you know, what the Bruins were hoping to get out of him in the Lucic deal, then, you know, that deal is already a good deal. It will get a lot better if Colin Miller, you know, but like I said, he's 24. If by 26 he's fully panned out and, you know, hits his potential, he could be a nice, you know, definitely a top four, potentially top two in a couple more years.
Scored their first goal against Edmonton. There you have it, the Cheese Doodle Extreme Player of the Week, brought to you by Wise Snacks, hotter than a 100-mile-per-hour slap shot. I would give it to Khudobin. Khudobin took it.
Yeah, of course you would.
Professionally took his assignment to Providence.
I'm going to buy Kenny a wubby teddy bear with like an Anton Khudobin shirt on it so he can sleep with it at night.
Clothes scapegoat.
Oh, my wubby.
Hey, yep. Trade deadline coming up on March the 1st. We got 2 months.
Yikes.
And really, there hadn't been a lot of action around the league. Well, Landeskog is the big name that's out there. With Matt Duchene as well, the two guys that appear to be on the block for Colorado. There are not many teams that are obvious sellers at this point. But let me run through. Here's a list from Bleacher Report of five or six guys that also may be considered. What about the Sabres and Evander Kane?
Kevin Miller would fight him the second he walked in that locker room.
No, you might as well just go play under power lines and smoke cigarettes instead of that, because that's a better kind of cancer to have in your locker room than Evander Kane.
$5 million cap hit is pretty steep as well. Arizona is terrible, but they have two players that are going to be coveted, Martin Hanzel and Radim Verbata, 29 and 35 years of age, respectively.
Hanzel is interesting. It'd be another center on your roster, but I think he's really fits a lot of the things they want to do. He's 6'6" center, really, really strong on the puck, I find. Good net front guy. The problem is that they have a lot of these guys already. But I think he'd be a nice – if you're trying to win games 2-1, Martin Hansel's a good pickup.
It's a rental. Would be cheaper. He's a pending UFA, so it would be like last year going after a Stempniak type.
Yeah, and Verbata for me is a no. I saw what he did last year in the Vancouver top six. Granted, that was a bad Vancouver team, but I think if you put him in an expected winning atmosphere, he's going to fall apart for you.
Thomas Vanek in Detroit, I'm not sure that they would trade within the division, but if the Wings continue on this pace, they're going to miss the playoffs for the first time in, 25 years?
It's happening.
Vanek's been around. One-year contract worth $2.6 million. Could play either wing. He'd be interesting.
I don't know. Detroit and Boston, I don't think there's a lot of big real trade history there. I'd be surprised if they trade within divisions. As far as Verbata, I disagree with Ty. I think he might be a decent pickup if you get him cheap for kind of like, you know, basically top nine depth. He's got some skill in him. I know they said Vancouver was bad, but that's a bad team out there right now.
All right, Carolina today, 5:00 this week. They've got St. Louis and Nashville on the road, and next Saturday, Philadelphia at home. So it'll be an interesting week for the Bruins. We'll be back next Sunday, 8 a.m. Sunday Skate. At this time for a while until after the football season. Good job, boys.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Good job waking up early.
At Rear Ed B's blog on Twitter, and listen to us spitting chicklets on Barstool.
Coming up.
Gotta get that promo in.
Shameless, but effective. Coming up, it's NFL Sunday with Chris Price and Pete Shepard. They'll be getting you ready for the NFL games. We'll have them both for you here on Sports Radio WEEI coming up this afternoon.
when I took the job, and Claude was a very firmly a part of that, and I have faith in him and our staff and our personnel. That being said, you know, this is a performance business.